Welcome to episode 2 of the Original 11. On today's show, we will have junior Riley Radosevich, the returning All-Ivy starter on the offensive line, an offensive line that helped power Princeton to over 330 rushing yards last week in a really wild 50-7 victory at Butler. That'll be our second segment. We'll open today's show with Cody Cruchel, the voice of Princeton football. I got to share the broadcast booth with Cody last weekend, and you know, I know we talked about going into that game. We don't know a whole lot about Butler. We know a little bit about ourselves, but we're not. You know, you need that first game to see if what you think might be possible actually is. And I think at least for 1 week, what we thought possible, and maybe even a few other things, they were there. Princeton looked good.
I'm looking at the box score, and I still don't know that I believe 7-0, 26 seconds in, and 14-0, less than 4 minutes in. I mean, tough to really tell how good Butler was because they had the run over the ranked team. They struggled a little bit against the lower-level NAIA team, but I think the positive this weekend, you're kind of looking at, okay, what were the question marks coming into this? It was John Lovett as a traditional passer. I think, you know, obviously a couple of throws he'd probably like back, but he hasn't been a drop-back quarterback in 5 years, and I think you can put a check in the positive box there. Rebuilt offensive line, John Lovett had a ton of time making some of those throws, and then guys back on defense, they looked healthy, it was deep, and they were pressuring Will Marty, the Butler quarterback, from the first snap of the ball game. So if you're looking at the question marks coming into this game, 50-7 answers it on a kind of a macro level, but on a micro level, you can check a lot of yes boxes.
Yeah, I mean, it seems ridiculous to say that it was 50-7 and it really wasn't that close, but it really wasn't that close. I mean, Princeton basically handed the ball off, played mostly reserves in the second half, still pitched a shutout. You know, you saw guys like Trey Gray. I mean, basically, they could travel 62 players and all 62 of them got on the field. You know, let's hit both sides of the ball. And you had mentioned defense at the end of that, so let's talk about that group a little bit. A lot of returners. You know, obviously, Kurt Haluba was out of that game. We'll find out more this week about his stance. But Jake Strain and Mark Fassati and Mike Wagner and Jeremiah Tyler. I mean, you could just see when you put this whole group together, it was impressive, and we had talked on the broadcast, that was a veteran-laden, red-shirt, senior-heavy offensive line that Butler had, and they lost the battle big time. I mean, you had Rollator, Strain, Percival, DeMarco, I mean, go down, Samuel Wright in Will Marty's face the entire game.
And Princeton went to its bench a lot earlier than Butler went to its bench. You look at the three sacks, Samuel Wright, Jay Rollator, Matthew Jester, who's a freshman playing his first college game.
Who looked good.
Most of the big plays defensively for Princeton weren't against third and fourth string offensive linemen for Butler. They kept their starters out there for the most part through the third quarter. So, you know, those guys looked good, and it's not like they were playing scrubs out there. That's a very impressive performance by the defense. And that one touchdown drive, it was a shorter field, and it was one long run by a pretty good running back. Outside of that, you didn't give up the big play.
No, and Butler has a receiver in Pace Temple that, you know, Bob Sorace really liked. And look, he got 7 catches, 85 yards, a touchdown, but still for the most part held in check.
His longest was 17. He
right.
Didn't burn you.
And what impressed me about Princeton, besides that one long run with a couple of cutbacks, there were very few missed tackles. And in the first game of a season where you're not doing a whole lot of tackling in the preseason, you would expect, okay, a couple missed tackles here and there. You really didn't see any of them. And Butler, you know, they kept their players in front of them. They made tackles. They had to earn everything that they got.
And it's tough to overlook the impact the conditions had. This was game 3 for Butler. They have their legs under them. They played in tough, rainy, hot conditions the week before. Princeton, it was 88 degrees, their sideline, they were staring into the sun, and you know, you wondered, will fatigue set in? It didn't seem to.
No, and then offensively, it took 2 passes to see that John Lovett could throw the deep ball. It took 2 passes to see that, yep, Jesper Horsted, the same threat as he was last year. All that being said, you know, and the offensive line we get to in my conversation with Riley Radosevich, but I don't think one offensive player impressed me more in that game than Charlie Volker. I just loved, and look, he scored 14 touchdowns last year, led the team in rushing, but he just looked different to me. He looked more confident. He looked like he had a couple extra things in the bag that comes with the experience and the work that he's put in, and he could be awfully dangerous this year.
It's interesting. I mean, you almost still think of Charlie Volker as he was when he came in, which was, okay, we know this guy's a very good sprinter on the track and field team, and you know about that blazing speed. You almost forget he's 6 feet tall, 220 pounds, and now you can see the evolution. He isn't just a sprinter that's playing running back. He's a running back. The physicality is there, the speed is there, and I don't know that he missed a hole.
No, absolutely not. And behind him, Colin Eady, somebody that we were really impressed with in the preseason, and he, you know, is a toe away from a long touchdown run there in the second quarter, but, you know, he looked good too. And you start to think about what this running game can be, and you factor John Lovett obviously into that. He rushes for two touchdowns, the long 21-yarder early in the game. Now you have a lot of very capable runners that linebackers have to account for at all times. And if you're doing that, if you're watching these backs and you have, you know, a Horsted on one side and a Carlson who didn't do a whole lot in week one, but you know he's going to do a lot during the season, this becomes a really challenging offense to go against. And I think what we saw Butler try to do when it realized, you know, plan A was failing miserably, is they kind of brought the house at Lovett. And I think we'll see kind of how Princeton makes adjustments to that. But stopping Charlie Volker is not going to be an easy task this year.
No, and kind of on a bigger scale, I think all you need to know about this offense, you saw in two plays, you know, Carlson, they took him out of it. They had a lot of coverage on him. They knew that they wouldn't be able to contain Steven Carlson and Jesper Horsted. First play, they give up 6 or 7 yards on the line of scrimmage, and John Lovett just hits Jesper Horsted with an easy 8-yard pass out to the sideline, take what the defense gives you, and then, you know, the next one, they come up and they press and they try to bump Horsted with a cornerback that's 5'8", 170, and 63 yards later, Jesper Horsted has the football in the end zone. So, you know, that's one of the weapons. Coming into that game, you almost forget about how good Charlie Volker and Colin Eady and Ryan Quigley are, and that's the other thing. It's not like there's one running back you have to worry about. Those are three guys who do three different games, different things, and they're all dangerous. I don't know if there's a team anywhere with more weapons and a more diverse arsenal on offense than Princeton.
Yeah, and we'd be remiss not to mention the offensive line, but it'll be a big part of our next segment with Riley Radosevich. You know, Saturday, we got Monmouth coming to town. First time that these two programs have met. We'll talk a lot more about that during the week. Obviously, that'll be a big part of the Bob Saray Show Thursday night. But it'll be fun to get back onto Powers Field, see how this team, you know, reacts from that week one to week two, the corrections that they made, you know, what this offense kind of brings out in week two. And but certainly for an opening, that was pretty good.
Tough act to follow.
All right, let's move now to my conversation, with Riley Radosevich, the junior right tackle, one of two returning starters, and as I said before, on an offensive line that led Princeton to over 330 yards rushing. Riley, let's start with game one impressions. Obviously, you were a confident bunch going out to Butler, but were you even a little surprised with how that opener went?
I think that we played the game we were supposed to play. I believe that we weren't surprised about what we did because of all the work we put in throughout the winter time, the spring, and the summer. We still have a lot of things to clean up in terms of game plan, execution, and everything like that. But overall, I think the team is very, very happy about how we played and how we handled the game, especially because this is the first time in my career and many other guys' careers that we have blown for a game and being so far away in Butler. So I think we handled it very well.
For you, as one of the returning offensive linemen, you know, people are going to talk about having Chad graduate and John return, two great quarterbacks, but obviously two very different players. When you have somebody like John who, you know, will keep plays alive with his legs, still wants to be a throwing option. Does it change the way you have to play in terms of either holding blocks longer or being aware of, you know, where he is, getting out to block for him?
Yes, exactly like that. With Chad last year, it was more of protect, don't let guys get too close to him because he was going to sit in the pocket and he was going to make all the throws like he did. And with John now, he has that extra like second effort into plays where he can keep them alive. And what that does for an offensive line is means that you have to hold your blocks, that there is no whistle on the play. There's no time count in your head where the ball should be thrown, stuff like that. So it's great because as an offensive lineman, you love blocking for a quarterback like that because if he's trying to extend the play like that, then that means he's trying to get the best possible result out of that play. So it's extra added motivation for us to block longer, to hold on to our blocks because you don't know what's going to happen when Johnny steps back there.
When you look at the offense, obviously the flip from Chad to John is one thing, but the biggest change is, you know, we're at your position, the offensive line. You and George are returning starters, but there's three new players in the starting lineup at Butler. Overall, how do you rate the way your group in particular played, especially after running for, you know, over 330 yards? And then also, like, what do you take from that game that you can build on?
I was really proud of the guys and what they were doing, what they did during the game. I know it was their first time out, and like I said before, like this being a game where we traveled so far just to play a team, which is not normal for us, they handled it extremely well. They were all locked in, very focused, and they executed very well on their part. Now, after watching the film of the game, there are definitely some technique issues. There's some execution issues that we need to fix, including myself and George. But looking at that film and us playing physical like we did and getting 330 yards on the ground, it's definitely an encouraging sign for us as a unit. It's always, as Coach Ray says, 5% better every day. So as an offensive line, we need to get 5% better every day so we can keep this up throughout the rest of our non-conference games and looking into Ivy League play.
Let's talk about you now and your development. You played a lot as a freshman and obviously started last season. You had some really good mentors who graduated last year, and especially Mitch Swigert, two-time All-Ivy League tackle, playing the same position as you. What did you learn from him, and what's the biggest thing you want to take from him, both kind of as a starter and as a leader on the line?
When I was a freshman, and Mitch was my mentor from that mentor-mentee program we have going, he taught me definitely a lot about the offense in general, but I think that the number one thing that he taught me was to pay attention to all of the small things about the offense, to take notice about all the small details, because you can always get all of the overarching ideas of plays and the mentality that we're supposed to have in each play and what the play looks like, but if you don't do the small things right every play, then you can never reach the type of player that Mitch was when he ended his career. So I think that Mitch being a mentor to me really helped me in my development, especially through my freshman and sophomore year, because he never stopped teaching me, even though he was a senior. He was my mentor, technically not my mentor anymore. So it definitely helped a lot.
Do you feel like now you have to kind of accept that role? It's more than just, you know, you playing tackle, focusing on yourself, that, you know, you have to be a mentor to both, you know, this really talented group of freshman offensive linemen that was brought in, but also, you know, these new starters who may be playing 60 snaps now instead of 20. I mean, you kind of have to look at the big picture, be there for the whole group right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely trying to look out for the guys in our best interest, which is to win an Ivy League championship, to finish 10-0 and all these goals, especially as an offensive line because we lost so many guys graduating. It definitely helps that I've played a lot so I can pass that experience on to the new starters and then mentor all the young guys throughout camp. So all of the three freshman tackles we have, teaching them about the plays, all the small things like Mitch was teaching me. So it definitely is a new added role for me this year to try and get the young guys up to speed as well as share my in-game experience with everyone else on the offensive line And they do the same with me. George always like adding new ideas and trying to teach me. And Brent Holder always adds great ideas because he's been around for a long time too. He knows the offense ins and outs. So we all help each other, and it's definitely a good dynamic.
Last question. I assume, you know, you spend 3 to 4 weeks at training camp, also 42 weeks, you know, between last season and this one. And I have to assume it's inspiring to see 26 seconds into the game, watch that ball kind of float down, land in Jesper's hands, have him sprint into the end zone. That's got to be a thrilling way to start your season.
Yeah, I was definitely winded running all the way down the field as fast as I could to go celebrate with Jesper. I mean, it's definitely like the culmination of a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifices that we all made to get to that result, and seeing that ball called on the play where all the coaches worked so hard to put in a great game plan to be in the most advantageous position on the field. Like, that was definitely very, very awesome to see. As I was saying before, we definitely do have a lot of stuff to work on, but that first outing for the offense was very, very fun. But we're looking forward to Mammoth now, so definitely a different animal, and we're gonna look to repeat the same result.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. Saturday's game against Mammoth is a 4:30 start. You can watch it on ESPN+. It'll be Community and Staff Day at Princeton, always a popular one with families. The Youth Clinic will be held once again on Weaver Track. That will be between 3 and 4 p.m. A reminder, the Bob Saray Show is Thursday night. It'll be uploaded as a podcast afterwards. You can get all podcasts downloaded directly to your favorite podcast app by subscribing to Princeton Tigers. Thank you again for listening to the Original 11.